Señor, y alabanza de nuestra gloria, absorbe también las noches y dormimos. Si dicha que también nos visitan, sabe también a tu padre, suayam tu papa la mayam, y one day on Sri Guru Sri Yavatam, Sri Guru Krishna Padan Sadhana Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Dharapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Prabhata Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Parvata Rubhyasya Vibhasindhu Jayevacha पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम राम
This is auspicious week of the celebration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Jayanti Devas. So we'll be discussing one six Ashtakam prayers Chaitanya Mahaprabhu composed. Before that, we'll just have some prayers glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then we'll have six Ashtakam prayers. We'll try to chant all of the six Ashtakam prayers, and then we'll try to touch each of those with some explanations and with some glorification there.
Ajanu lambito bhujo kankavadato sankirtana kapitaro kamalaya taksau visvambaro dvijavaro yugadharma palo vande priya jagatkaro
Vrindavandas Thakur in his Chaitanya Bhagavat singing this glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, both of them, whose hands are Jamalambita Bhujo Kanaka Vadato, whose hands are long until almost the high until up to the knee, Kanaka Vadato, whose complexion is golden, Kanaka Vadato. Sankirtana Kapitaro Kamalaya Takso. He is the father of Sankirtana Kapitaro. Sankirtana, he is the father of Sankirtana. Sankirtana Kapitaro Kamalaya Takso, whose eyes are like lotus flower. Sankirtana Kapitaro Kamalaya Takso. Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Pano. He is the maintainer of universe. Vishwambaro Dvijavaro, he is one of the best Brahmins. Dvijavaro Yugadharma Pano, who is the maintainer of this Yugadharma. Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priya Karo Karma Avatara. Vande Priya Jagat Karo, to this personality I am bind down. Vande Priya Jagat Karo Karma Avatara, who is the most magnificent and merciful incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the description for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given by Vrindavandas Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life described by three different authors. One of them, of course, Vrindavandas Thakur, another is Chaitanya Mangala, and another one is that period always in temple is he. Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the last chapters, practically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, spent 48 years of life on the earthly planet. Out of 48 years, he lived 12 years continuously in Jagannath Puri, crying in separation from Krishna and Radharani, of course, crying in separation from Krishna, spending all his time in spiritual ecstasies with two of his most intimate associates, Swarup Damodar and Ramanand Roy. These are his two associates. He spent all his 12 years there, chanting and remembering pastimes, chanting and remembering, especially his six astakam prayers. He wrote only 8 prayers, which are known as six astakam prayers. And the six astakam prayers of all eight stanzas, you will see them, how each of the stanzas, how each of the prayers describe the purification of the heart, the potency of the holy name, how the holy name should be chanted, what is the ultimate result or what is the result of chanting that name, what is one expecting from that name, what kind of expect is he getting from this name, why he is suffering in separation, and ultimately he is writing about the last part, that in whatever situation I am, still your eternal servant. These are the little glimpses of the 8 verses and some little details of each of those verses. If you mind, you can chant all those names with me. We are going to chant, of course, we chant every day. In the morning, if you at all are called to Mangala Aarti, then we have every day, practically most of the temples, they have these offenses, 10 offenses mentioned in Padma Purana about the holy name that we always chant. And after that, we have 6 astakam prayers, we chant always in the morning. We just recite them. So we'll chant all those 8 astakam prayers and then we'll touch each of them to a certain extent.
चेतो दर्पणमाजनं भवमानादावानिर्वापनं श्रेयाचन्द्रिकाभिधानं विद्यावजीवनं आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रकृतिवदं पूर्णावतारस्वादनं सर्वात्मास्मरणं परमजयहे श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नानामकारि बहुतामिद सर्वशक्ति तत्रापितानियमिता स्मरणेन काल एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन्मापि दुर्दैवमिदसं ज्ञानानुनादपि सुनिश्चेन तरोपि सहिष्ण अमायिनामानधेना कीर्तन्यायशरि नाधनं न सुन्दरी कवितां मा जगदीशकामे मम जन्मनि जन्मनि स्वये भवतादभक्तिमे भवामुदम् कृपया तव पादपङ्कज कृपा दुरि सदृशं विचिन्तय भविष्यति युगायुतम् अदर्शनं करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विदधातुलं पटो मत् प्राणनाथस्तु स एव नाथ.
So these are the prayers Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent in remembering, in concentrating, in meditating on these prayers, spending his last 12 years of life, 12 years on this earthly planet, remembering this thing with Swarup Damodar and Ramanand Roy. And he was always in spiritual ecstasy. For the last 12 years he was doing this thing. You can see how much he was concentrating on these holy names and how much he was concentrating on these 8 astakam prayers. He only wrote 8 astakam prayers, that's all, in his life. He didn't write any of those, but he wrote only those 8 astakam prayers. The very first prayer, the Sankirtan movement, as we know, as we chanted the first mantra, the Sankirtan movement is prime benediction for humanity. Of course, the Sankirtan movement which cleanses the heart of all the accumulated for years of life and extinguishes the fire of repeated life and birth and death. It is the It is the benediction, it is Sankirtan was prime benediction for humanity at large because his praise of rays is benediction moon. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and it enables us to fully test the nectar for which we are always anxious. This is the meaning of first prayer. So, some of the results of chanting the holy name is being described in this first prayer of Shikshastakam prayer. Cheto Darparamanyam. It cleanses the heart. Our heart is full of anarthas. And it's describing to Swarup Damodar and Ramanandoy about the undesirable habits that we carry in our heart. So to remove these undesirable habits, one has to change the holy name. So cleansing process is called the Cheto Darparamanyam. That cleansing process removes the undesirable habits, anarthas, sarva anarthas. It destroys all sarva anarthas, all undesirable habits. Undesirable habits are material desires or the asat Krishna. Living beings suffer from many of the anarthas. We come across always the six anarthas very quickly, that we come across very well known. They are all very well known. Kaam, Krodh, Moh, Lobh, Mad, and Matsarya. These are very well known such anarthas. Sadrip is considered to be. On the top of that, there are four more anarthas also described in Shastras, and this is that described. That is that we have a Swarup Brahma is one of our defects. So Swarup Brahma is one of our anarthas. Then Asat Krishna, Radai Dorvariya, and Abrat Lavariya. These are the four more anarthas we carry also. And in that, Asat Krishna is being. Asat Krishna means all temporary desires. Living beings is full of all temporary desires. And because of this concept that this temporary desires is always looking for fulfillment of these desires. And is running after the fulfillment of desire, and we know that thing. If you try to satisfy one, another will come up, and we try to satisfy those two, then third one will come up, and you will never be able to satisfy those desires. So, this called Asat Krishna, temporary desires. So, one should not be running up for temporary desires. Only, even Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly mentioned about the desires, and one has to come to a life form of desirelessness. One has to understand that how to remove those unnecessary desires or Asat desires. This unnecessary desire binds us in this material world continuously, moving in the cycle of birth, old age, disease, and death. So these unnecessary desires are anarthas. It is called one of the natural of Krishna, should be removed by taking up no desires. How one can have no desire at all? That's the question. How one should learn that how one can have no desire? It is mentioned that desire is the symptom of the living entity. And how can one be without any desires if the desire is the symptom of the living entity? As long as you are living, you have desire. And as long as you are living, you are desiring. And as long as you are desiring, you are going to wind up in the birth, old age, disease, and death. So then how can I stop my desires? Please, what is that noise coming up from the
table?
No, sorry, I thought it's coming from inside. That's okay. So, these desires is the cause of our bondage in the material world. So, Krishna conscious society teaches us how to become without desires. And how to be without desires is a good question. How can one have no desire? As long as I am doing, I will have desire. So then, Krishna conscious society teaches us that no, you can desire. But when you desire for your own sense gratification, when you desire something for your own enjoyment, that desire is going to bind you in the world. But if you desire something to satisfy Krishna, that is called bhakti. So that's going to not bind you, that's going to be a thing and liberate you from the material world. So if you take up the desire to satisfy Krishna's desire, or if you desire to satisfy Krishna's desire, then even though it is a desire, it is not going to bind you. So one has to come to the state of desiring something from Krishna. And that's called bhakti. The application of bhakti is given like that. Anyway, Sarvopadi Vyayutta Tatparatvayam Vyayutta Sikhanyata Sikhasa Seonam Bhakti Ruchyate. That's the definition of bhakti, that if you desire something to satisfy Krishna's desire, then even though it is a desire, it is not considered desire. Why it is not desire? Because it is not going to bind you. Desire is going to bind you in the material world, but this desire does not bind you. This desire makes you free from this material bondage. So it is a desire Even though it is a desire, it is considered to be no desire, it is considered to be a state of desirelessness. So one has to come to the state of desirelessness, and by coming to the state of desirelessness, one can become free from this material body. And the chanting of the holy name brings you to the platform of no desire, or brings you to the platform of desirelessness. And that's the platform, that is state of the Panvadim, Bhava Mahadavadim, Panvadim. So it is mentioned that by desiring, by doing that thing, the dust accumulated is removed, and the fire of life, fire of this fire, we are burning this fire of repeated birth or death is in there, that is extinguished, so it removes whatever. And then of course it is mentioned, it is the prime benediction for humanity, because this is a benediction for humanity. This chanting process is considered to be benediction. He mentioned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned in his discussion with Swarup Damodar in Ramayana, that this Sankirtan movement is a prime benediction. He mentioned that in a different way also, that he said that this Harse Kahe Prabhu Suno Swarup Rama Roy Nama Sankirtana Kalo Paramupa. He said Nam Sankirtana is the most feasible way in Kali Yuga to be liberated. Nama Sankirtana Kalo Paramupa. In Kali Yuga, this is the best solution, this is the best possible, best feasible way to become liberated from the material bondage. And that is what it is mentioned also in first six chapter, how to become free from this burning fire of this material life. So this is the result of Sankirtan movement, this is the result of chanting the holy name. One comes to the stage of desirelessness, and one becomes free from this stage of this thing that we are suffering in material world. So this is, and that's the best solution. He said, that's the most feasible way. There are other ways maybe, and other ways are mentioned, but these other ways are very difficult to go through. So one should not take up those difficult ways, because it's not going to be very easily done by us. So one should take up the easy process, and this process asks nothing except chanting the holy name. It's not a difficult process. Other processes involve some kind of special sitting posture, special ways to do it, and special in a special place you have to do this thing. There is no place here. There is no time, place, and circumstance. It is mentioned. It is mentioned. Kavidas Goswami mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that this is the holy name. You can chant it anytime, anywhere, without any restriction. Of course, second stanza also makes it very clear that what happens with this holy name. But in this first, we will take the another result of this holy name, another way holy name is chanted is mentioned. Kavidas Goswami mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Khaite suite yathatata namale, this call name is sarva siddhi. He said you can chant the holy name in any situation. Khaite suite yathatata namale, by hook or crook you must treat the holy name. Yathatata means by any means, by hook or crook. Rupa Goswami mentions also in his Bhakti Rasami Chandra about this, that one should try to fix his mind on the holy name of Krishna by hook or crook. Yathatata, by any means, by this means or by that means, but one has to fix the mind of Krishna's name, holy name. So that Kaviraj Goswami mentioned, khaite suite, even while eating or while lying down, you can take the holy name of Krishna. No restrictions there. Deska niyam nahi sarva siddhiho. And there are no laws and rules and regulations of time and place. Deska, time and place, there are no rules and regulations. Deska niyam nahi sarva siddhiho. By doing that thing, you can achieve full perfection. So this is the result of chanting the holy name. Kavidas Goswami mentioned. In the second stanza he mentioned, nam nama kari bhavdhani sarva siddhiho. He said Krishna has invested all his transcendental energies in his holy name. All transcendental energies are invested in his holy name. And there are not hard and fast rules to chant this name. Again, same things come up. There are not hard and fast rules for time and place and circumstances. Again, second, sixth article, it is mentioned, there are not hard and fast rules to chant this name. And it is mentioned also that out of kindness, out of your mercy, it is possible to approach you by your holy name. Holy name is none different than Krishna. If you chant the holy name of Krishna, Krishna is right over there on your tongue. So Krishna is right there on your tongue. So it is by chanting the holy name, Krishna is there. So there are not hard and fast rules. Holy name is so powerful, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for it. I have attraction for so many material things, unfortunately, but for holy name I have no attraction. I am actually forced. We are actually In one sense, we are forced to change this name because we have been told by our Guru Maharaj. If you don't, then we are disobeying Guru Maharaj's order. We disobey the orders of Guru Maharaj, means it is an offense at the holy name. So we are doing, but of course, by doing that thing, maybe once in a while we might have a taste of the holy name. It's not continuous. We have continuous, that's the best way. Of course, it is difficult to have continuous taste of the holy name all the time. That's why holy names are chanted in a different stages, and one of the stages is, of course, we are always chanting holy name with the offensive stage. First stage is offensive chanting. Second stage is clearing stages, and third stage is pure chanting. This pure chanting means you will not want anything but only the holy name. No food, no sleep, nothing. You will just want holy name. And so the Goswami chanted Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days continuously, day and night, without disturbing, without water and without anything. How can one do this thing? Even Sukadeva, at one point, is mentioned somewhere that after some time, Parikshit Maharaj was also in the same situation. Parikshit was also fasting and no water and nothing. So, and in between, it was informed that Parikshit Maharaj, you are the person who was very thirsty. And you offended that group, you offended the sage because of the thirst. And you put the snake on the neck of this on this semi-prison. And you are thirsty at that time. And now you have been hearing this katha for so many days and still you have no thirst. What's going on? For little thirst, you offended the sage. And same katha and same person you are here, even so you don't feel thirsty. He said, no, because he was hearing Krishna katha. By Krishna Katha, there was no question of thirst, but by material Katha, you definitely get tired and exhausted and you need to sleep, you need to eat and you need to drink, definitely. But for Krishna Katha, there was no question of any thirst. And we can see the example of Parikshit Maharaj, who had done same thing just because of the thirst. He came to the situation where he was cursed by the sage son, and now he is doing the same thing that he is hearing with Bhagavatam. So you can see how Krishna Katha is so nectarian. But unfortunately, we have no test. The test can be created only by chanting the holy name. We are always chanting in offensive state. Offenses are always. One of the four anarthas I mentioned that we are prone to offense. We are offensive mentality. We have offensive mentality, definitely. That is one of the anarthas I mentioned. Swarup Brahma, Asat Krishna, Hriday Dourbhagya, and Aparadha Prabhalya. We are Aparadha Prabhalya. We are always prone to offenses. So offenses, because of their offensive mentality, the name, holy name, does not taste as nectarian as it's supposed to be. It has an impact. It has a definite impact on us. Definitely it is not that holy name is wasted because the name has been invested with the potency. So as we know whether there is potency or not, but it has an effect. As we know whether the drug has potency that we are taking or not, if you know about drug or not, but drug has its potency, it is going to act on you. Whether you know it or not, same name, holy name has its potency, it's going to act on you. But if you chant it with that offensive mentality, the effect is very strong and small, that's all. But when you come to the stage of clearing stage, so once clearing stage means once in a while you get some taste of holy name, you do. But we don't get it continuously. Sometimes our mind wanders away from that holy name and we lose the taste and then we are again back to some other stage. But by continuously chanting, that mind will be trained and ultimately will come to a stage of clearing stage. And clearing stage will be a clearing stage where we will be chanting, where we will be getting some taste of holy name. And after the taste of holy name, definitely we will come to a pure chanting. Pure chanting will change the life of not only pure chanting, will change the life of person who hears the name coming. Just by hearing that name, if you are chanting it purely, the other person's life will be changed. Yes, Harinath Thakur chanting the holy name, and prostitute came to and chant him, but she became the devotee of Harinath Thakur later on just by that holy name. You can see how conversion was made, big conversion. She became a great devotee. So that is the potency of the holy name. And holy name can be, as I mentioned, can be chanted. How it should be chanted? Third, Shikshastakam prayer mentioned about Trinadapi Sudhichana. How one should get the holy name? One should be more tolerant than a blade of grass and should be more tolerant than a tree. And then should be devoid of sense of thirst, especially and ready to offer our respect to other. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name. How to chant the holy name? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shikshastakam, there are three mentioned that this is how holy name should be chanted. holy names should be chanted, considering oneself. Even one is so advanced in Krishna consciousness that he should think that I am still like the taro, I am still like a blade of grass, I should be considered myself. And he should be tolerant like a tree. The tolerance of trees is described many, many scriptures, because trees are very tolerant, giving fruits, shelter, flowers, everything to human beings. But the more tolerance of trees seen in two different ways. Even though the tree is cut, it never protests. And even though the tree is drying, it will not ask for any water. That kind of tolerance is necessary. Of course, you will give everything to everybody who asks, like trees, green, flowers, fruits, shelter, whatever. But when we are suffering, when tree is suffering from the thirst, it's not going to come and ask. You are still a living being, one should understand, it's a living being, so it doesn't ask for any water. And even if it is cut, it doesn't protest. So that kind of tolerance is made by that kind of tolerance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned, that one should be tolerant to that extent. And if somebody steps over you, don't get offended and don't ask him, hey, don't you say sorry for this thing? No, don't worry about that thing. If you have that kind of tolerance, that tolerance is necessary. And if you have that tolerance, then you can chant the holy name perfectly. This is the how holy name should be chanted. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his prayers mentioned, Aparadha Sunnihoyoho Krishna Nam Krishna Mata Krishna Pita Krishna Dhamma. He said how holy name should be chanted, Aparadha Sunnihoyoho, again, free from the offenses. Offenses, one has to be very careful, try to avoid the offenses, because offensive mentality means, Aparadha means one who decreases our bhakti for Radharani. Aparadha, avaradha. So for Radharani, our bhakti decreases by the Radharani. So when we do the offense, our bhakti towards Radharani decreases, and when the bhakti decreases, Radharani is the one who will take us to Krishna. So one has to be very careful in avoiding aparadha. Now, in another siksha, he mentioned that what one should be aspiring from the holy name, one should not be expecting nothing in return for the holy name. Holy name should not be chanted with some kind of expected result. Otherwise, it's not a holy name, it's not a pure holy name. It's just a name. The name will have its potency, but that's all. So one should be free from this kind of mentality of expecting something out of the holy name. No, one should not chant the holy name. Akama sarva moksha kamodaya kevalam bhakti yogaya swamparam. It's mentioned that this is the way one should be chanting holy name without any desire, without any expectation. In the other Sikshastra compare, it is mentioned that how do you want to be fallen into this material world? Therefore, this question is asked, and where this question is asked, one should not have to worry about how living entities fallen into this material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answered that in this fifth Sikshastra, somehow or the other, I have fallen into those of the material world. I don't really look how. If I start looking for that, then you are wasting your time in finding the reason in which you will not be able to find it practically. So one should not look for the reason. It is mentioned that when you are hit by the arrow, you don't look for the hunter who hit the arrow. You first try to remove the arrow. That's the necessary thing first, to remove it. Not to look for the hunter who hit you with this arrow. You are wasting your time. By wasting that time, you are not going to make anything. But you should try to remove the arrow. So, you should not look for that, how you have come in this material world. You have come in the material world, you should try to get out of this material. That's the purpose of your life. So you should not look for, you should not go into reason that how did I fall in this material world, what should I do, how should I get out. No, your purpose is only to get out. Why did I come into? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned, somehow or the other, by some reason I have fallen into this material world, and my purpose is to get out. And he's asking me to make me feel just. In another Siksha Atakantra, he mentions about the spiritual ecstasies. That what will happen? Why this thing is not happening to me? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying this. See, that person who is telling that why these things are not happening. By chanting the holy name, why the tears are not coming out from my eyes? Tears are not coming. The hairs are not standing on my end. And I am not getting choked up by the holy name. These are some of the symptoms of spiritual ecstasy. There are 8 symptoms mentioned in scripture about spiritual ecstasy. And 6 of them, 3 of them mentioned in this verse, of course. But the other 5 are, one becomes stunned. When you become stunned, all of a sudden you cannot even think of anything except that day. One becomes stunned. One is devastated by chanting, the holy name is totally finished. Then another name is tearing and perspiration. You perspire and tear by chanting the holy. Of course, these are some of these symptoms also. They come up when you are materially very fearful situation. All of a sudden, some tiger comes in front of you and you will just perspire like anything. That what's going to happen now? That's the stunt, and you'll be just, you cannot think of anything at this point. So there are some, these symptoms also appear sometimes in material fear, but this on a spiritual platform, these are the real spiritual ecstasies. So, tearing and perspiration. Then another one is changing the body color and choking up. You choke up also sometimes, and body color also changes. And then hair stand on the end, and the romance, hair stand on the ends also. So these are some of the symptoms of spiritual ecstasy. Hair stand on the ends and trembling, you tremble also. So that is called romance. Romance means trembling of the hair on the end and trembling also. These are the 8 symptoms mentioned in scripture about the spiritual ecstasies. And 3 of them being mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in 6 Shastra Kamthaya number 6 about why tears are not coming out from my eyes, why my hair are not standing on the end, and why I am not trembling, why I am not choking up. These are the symptoms mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describing to Sarupa Damodara and Ramananda. Coming up to the next one, which is also, he is describing, I am suffering from your separation, which very often devotees suffer from the separation from the devotees. It is telling that it looks like that tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and a moment is filling me like 12 years or more. A moment passed without you, it looks like a rare moment, but for me it looks like 12 years or more. So I am suffering from your and I am putting all vacant in the world in your absence. This is the situation where devotee, which is highest spiritual ecstasy, he is suffering separation from Krishna and Radha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is separating Radha and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radha and is suffering separation from Krishna. He is thinking that this is what is happening. And in the last 6 Shastra Kamthaya, he mentions, oh Krishna, whether you come or not, whether you come and embrace me or whether you don't come and make me broken hearted, but still, I will be chanting your holy name unconditionally. Unconditional chanting of the holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned about that in the last prayer. Unconditional chanting. Conditional chanting means, I do something for you, do something for me. That's called conditional chanting. One should not be doing conditional chanting. It is not conditional, it's not pure chanting. It's just chanting, but it's not a good, very effective way to chant the holy name. Unconditional, unmotivated. What Gautam mentioned about the bhakti should be uninterrupted and unmotivated. There should not be any motivation in bhakti. If you are expecting something in return of bhakti, then it's a business and it's not a bhakti then. It's something else. Maybe it's considered, you think it's bhakti, but it's not bhakti. And it should be uninterrupted. Uninterruption is a very important point to understand. Very often, when you start performing bhakti sang, you are living in the material world, so definitely material obstacles will come in the path of your bhakti. Material obstacles always come in the material world. Material obstacles, material world is the world of fear and anxiety and obstacles, always. This thing will always happen, no matter where you are, who you are, and what you are. It will happen. So obstacles will come. But if the obstacles try to come in your path of material words, usually try to overcome them. Usually try to overcome. Unless it is a condition where you cannot do anything, then you just succumb to that material obstacle. Otherwise, you try to overcome material obstacle, you try to pass over the material obstacle. In bhakti, if you have a little material obstacle comes up, I stop it. I don't go forward with that. That should not be the thing. For material objects, you do try to remove the hurdles in your way of material goals. For spiritual goals, if a small hurdle comes, you just try to stop them. You just try to do something. You have been given some devotional service. Obstacles will come because you live in the material world, definitely. So then, by that material obstruction of the material obstacles, you should not try to avoid that devotional service that is given to you. You must do it by any means. By all means, you must do it. That is called uninterrupted bhakti. If you are stopped by that, that means still you are not very firm in your determination. You are not firm in Krishna consciousness. That is one of our defects. That is one of our muscles I mentioned. We are weak in our determination. Arjun was not firmly determined and Krishna said, you have Radhai Durbalya, you are suffering from Radhai Durbalya. And that's why you are not firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness, firmly fixed in the fighting this world. Right? If you are firmly fixed, you will not avoid this situation. But still, you have Radhai Durbalya, you are weak in your determination, our hearts. We are very weak in defense, especially when it comes to spiritual determination. You just say, okay, it's okay, once in a while I do away from this, that's okay. One should not give any chance to mind and to Maya with that. Because it is mentioned, if you give a chance to Maya, she is waiting for you. Actually, you take chance on you. Maya is the energy which is testing you, or which is trying to test you so that you can keep away from Krishna. Maya's business is to keep close eye on the living entities so that they don't escape from her hand. Maya's duty is to keep us in one big castle. This material world is considered a big castle. Castle, his name is Durga, and one who is keeping an eye on the Durga is called Durga. So Durga Devi is the castle keeper. She is looking after the whole castle. We are all the prisoners in this big material gigantic world, gigantic castle, and we are all prisoners. And we cannot escape from that. Unless Durga Devi lets you go, then yes, you can go. Otherwise, she is the jail keeper, castle keeper. She will not let you go very easily. She will keep you testing. And if you pass all the tests, then she still keeps you testing. That she wants to see that maybe he will come one of the days, he will do something, and I'll grab him at that point. That's why one should be very careful to deal with this situation in spiritual practice. One should not give any chance to this Maya, to the mind, anything. Because they will want a little chance only, and the little chance will bring you. Little chance will give you a little more chance, a little more chance, a little more chance, and then more chance, and then you are gone like that. It's like attending Mangala Arati. If you are attending Mangala Arati every day, then once in a while you say, oh, I need to get so late, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. What's the point? If I can skip one day at least, 1 o'clock I went to bed, what's the point to get up in 2-3 hours? Literally just one day is okay, that's nothing. No. 1 year if I miss one day like that, what's the big point? Maya thing, that's good. I'm taking all these things so good that now you know how to get away at least one day a year. Maybe next time I'll get you 2 days a year and then you come 2 days or once a week or once a month and like that, you'll get habit with it. So one should not take any chance in this matter. If you are firmly fixed for spiritual practices, if you are getting up early, you must make a habit of getting early all the time. Every single day, heat or cold or sometime you might have to sleep less, but then you can catch up somewhere during the daytime, but don't give chance in the early morning. That chance is to give that, that's a difficult chance to get that way. Early morning, sometimes you have to do, you should do it. So you should even firmly fix, rather firmly determined. If you are firmly determined, then Maya will not touch you. Then she said, okay, now this is a qualified person, I cannot keep him here anymore. She will let you go. So she is keeping total eye on this. So this is the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, standing there. This is what one should be tending unconditionally, and that's Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned about that, that one should be doing uninterruptedly, and one should have no motivation in bhakti. It should be desire-free, it should not be expecting any result from this. For bhakti, I am doing something, so I must get something. No. You should not be expecting anything. Everything happens, once you take up Krishna consciousness, all good fortune comes up to you. That is the result of the Krishna conscious bhakti. It is mentioned in Kaviraj Goswami mentioned that Itta Suddhi Sarva Sadhya Bhakta Udhama Sarva Siddhi Sadhan Sarva Sadhan Bhakti Udhama. He said your consciousness becomes purified. Your all undesirable habits are gone and all kind of auspiciousness thing happens in your life. Auspiciousness comes up in your life. So by that holy name, everything was specifically good eventually. You should not be expecting it will come up, eventually it will happen. So this is the result of changing the whole thing. So this is how Sikshastra Kamprayas should be understood. And this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meant Sikshastra Kamprayas, and he was enjoying spiritual ecstasy with Ramananda and so Dhamma, his two intimate associates who were spending the time with him all the time. His last 12 years he spent in Jagannathpur. And he was there at Jagannathpur. This kind of shikshastra. This is Swamiji. Such, of course, each verse is a very long description and very long explanation. But we just give some little touch now, a little glimpse of the verses. And this is how shikshastra prayer should be chanted, and this is how shikshastra prayer should be meditated upon all this. If you do that thing, you get Krishna bhakti ultimately. That is the result. It's mentioned. Sarva pap nasan. It is destroyed, destroys all kinds of undesirable habits. And chitta suddhi and sarva bhakti sadhana utkama. All limbs of bhakti are awakened. There are different limbs of bhakti mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Different limbs of bhakti are there. And they are all awakened by this process of chanting this holy names. Simple process. Process is not very difficult. Process is simple. And once you take it up very seriously, once you take it up seriously and sincerely, you will ultimately get the results of this chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.